Man, I look tired. What's wrong with me? It's only day two, episode two. Let's get situated here. What's happening? Thanks for joining us. John Lund Unleashed. It is day two. Thank you. I'll go over this quickly. I did it yesterday, but if you were not here, the hell, bro? I don't like where that camera is. Hang on. There we go. That's better. That's a lot better. All right, thanks for joining us. We are live. It is day two. I'll do this at 8 a.m. Plus, I will have a smattering of things throughout the day. I do this thing called 3 minutes on. If something strikes me during the day that I send that out, follow everything at John Lund Radio on Twitter. That's the best way to get a hold of me. In fact, I have my Twitter up right now. So if you want to respond, hit me up at John Lund Radio on Twitter. We have a live chat going on as well. So hit me up in the live chat. This is the greatness. I'm really excited for today's show because I have a ton of stuff. And the difference between being here on YouTube, and I talked about this quickly yesterday, and you got to promote yourself and everything. So let me do this. Give me 2 minutes, and then we'll get straight into, and you can see if you're watching on YouTube, there's a little chalkboard right there, right next to me. By the way, bad hair day today. Lots of coffee. Lots to talk about. But you see there, intro, I'm just going to give you, if you weren't here yesterday, I'm just going to give you a quick once-over of what I'm doing now. 49ers means on the board there that I don't have to talk them every day like I used to when I was on the flagship. Dante agrees. That's Dante Whitner, who's going to be on the show later this week. Kerr and Pods, the NBA Cup. I don't want to be a hater. It was Farhan a spy. Burns again, not Eric, but Corbin. Broadcasters and Caboose Pistol. We're going to bring the Caboose Pistol in every single day. So first and foremost, thank you so much for finding me. I know a lot of times. Tacky's already on me. 801, Lund! I know. We're getting better. I think yesterday was 810, so today's 801. Believe me, I am a stickler for being prompt. I know that hasn't shown so far, but it will. I will be here at 8 o'clock. I might even be early some days. Who knows? But anyway, I digress. My ADD kicks in pretty quickly. But what I'm doing and why I left and all those kind of things real quickly, and I said this yesterday, but I'll say it for, you know, a week until we start building up here, just so that people know, because I think some people tune in for morbid curiosity of what I'm going, or if I'm crying, or if I've turned into an alcoholic or whatever. I'm not going to sit here and rip radio if you tuned in for that. I'm not going to talk about the downfall of radio if you tuned in for that. I'm not bitter. I'm happy. I walked on a high wire that is the media business, and specifically the radio business, for 28 years without being removed from my post, and I think I'm incredibly lucky for that. I had a 14-year run in the Bay Area with 95.7 and then KNBR. I helped start 95.7, if you didn't know that, and then went over to KNBR in 2016 to do work with Tom Tolbert and then with Greg Popma when he came back over, and they wanted him on there, and I wanted to do a show with him because we had great chemistry. So that's the long and short of it. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I'm not pissed. I'm none of those things. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for listeners like you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to every single day be able to talk to you. And now there's a different form and things are going in a different direction. And just to kind of give you a once over, and I'm not at liberty to say everything, this is step one in the process for me. And there's a lot of other great stuff. And I think you can probably figure it out. There's a lot of great guys and women who are, I don't call myself on the beach because this is a great opportunity. You know, if you are laid off, they say laid off, by the way, you're fired. He's laid off. I don't even know what that means. You're fired. But essentially, they're going to do me a favor in the long run. There's lots of different ways to connect to people. There's going to be a lot of people on the show. There's going to be a lot of people that we're going to connect with, all your radio favorites, all that kind of stuff. So just stay tuned. All right. So anyway, subscribe, listen, do all those kind of things. Tell all your friends. If you hate the show, tell somebody that you don't like. I don't care who listens as long and watches. I have a podcast at John Lund Unleashed that goes with this. I post it right after the show. So if you can't see the live, I repost this on YouTube. I repost this on social media. I put up links, all those kind of things. And then if you missed anything on the drive home, you can listen to the podcast on the way home because I'll post it right after this. So anyway, best way to get a hold of me, at John Lund Radio on Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast if you're listening to the podcast, John Lund Unleashed. And I can't thank you enough for the outpouring of support. So That is that. And I'll get out to it in just a second. In fact, I'll do it right now. If you're on the chat, I'll hit him. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, at John Lund Radio, I'm looking right at it. So whatever works for you. Tacky says 801. I got you. The pistol. Yeah, I'll bring the pistol back today. The Caboose pistol, absolutely. It's got to be a staple. I came up with it. And so some of the things that I did on the air, I'm gonna bring back. And we didn't do the Caboose pistol as much because you get these consultants are like, you might offend somebody. And again, I said this yesterday, this is the greatness of this forum, and it'll get illustrated today on the show because you don't have to talk about the Niners if there's nothing going on. You don't have to talk about the Giants. You don't have to conjure up topics. You just talk about the stuff that is actually intriguing and people care about. I'm excited for that part of this whole thing, and I'll illustrate it here in a second. But Lee Everett says, no, lovely. I got to get a hold of him, by the way. Hey, yo, what's going on, man? Will the A's to Vegas become official tomorrow? Finally, we'll get it going. Love the Caboose. So, again, keep it going in the chat, and I'll select the ones that are intriguing to me, and then again, hit me up at John Lund Radio. All right, let's get things going because we're 7 minutes into this thing, and I told you it'd be 2 or 3 minutes, and you're like, dude, let's go. One quick plug, last one. This is the Twitter page that you need to follow. That is right there, at John Lund Radio, so make sure you do that. And then the YouTube page, there's a little bit of confusion because I'm a dumbass. I had a show unleashed through the Locked On Podcast Network. It was doing really well, and then KNBR said, well, don't do that anymore. So I like the Unleashed name because it actually is what the show is. So I started it again, but that's the one that you need to subscribe to right there. If it doesn't look like that, then it's not the right one. So there is the YouTube page to subscribe to if you're watching on YouTube. If you're listening on the podcast, you're like, what the hell are you doing, dude? I don't know what you're talking about. All right, that is enough of plugging. All right, let's start here with the 49ers. And I love David Lombardi. He's going to be on the show. He's a tremendous guy. He does a great job, first for The Athletic, now the SF Standard. Him and Tim Kawakami went off on their thing, and he's great. He's really great. I'm just using this as an illustration to start the show and actually talking about sports. And this is what's great about this forum. If the 49ers aren't compelling on a certain day, I don't have to talk about them. And on the radio, you do. And again, I'm not ripping radio. I'm just simply saying that it's just a different medium. And so David Lombardi, at Lombardi himself, great guy. Says, busy 49ers update, how Israel fits and why Ronnie Bell is back. I'm just not intrigued by that. And I love David Lombardi, and he does a different job than me, all right? I try to entertain, inform, do all these kind of things. I don't know if I do it well, but the thing is that he's a beat reporter for the 49ers, so he's got to bring up that they signed some fourth-string running back who might play because of the injuries to CMC and Mason in this cursed year that the 49ers are having. But the only reason I bring that up, I love David, okay? But I don't want to talk about Ronnie Bell. Ronnie Bell sucks. Ronnie Bell's a bottom-of-the-roster churner, and that's what drove me crazy about Farhan, which we'll get into because clearly he's a double agent and he's going to go work for the Dodgers. But if I don't want to talk about, you know, the bottom churning of the roster, then I don't have to. I mean, the most intriguing thing about the 49ers right now is what they're going to do next year. I was watching a segment last night on ESPN, and they were debating the NFC West, and they were talking about Seattle and the Cardinals and the Rams, and then they got to the 49ers and went, eh. Like, at this point of this, did you think ever the 49ers, with the injuries, with the madness, with the weirdness, I talked about this yesterday, go back to yesterday's podcast, with the way that Kyle has made poor decisions on the coaching staff and banging his head against the wall offensively, and look, the injuries and the weirdness overtake all of that, but Kyle hasn't had a good season. I said that yesterday. Just go back to the pod and you can hear it. But those are the things that are intriguing about the 49ers, not the bottom churning of the roster. And if I don't want to talk about that, then I don't have to do it, which is great. What is intriguing about the 49ers, and let me bring this up, is my good friend Dante Whitner is going to join the show later. And this is exactly what I said yesterday, so I feel vindicated in it. It says, think about how these 49ers were. It was all defense. It was getting to the quarterback with a four-man rush, but they had elite defensive tackles in Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner. They had guys like Dee Ford who could win one-on-one matchups. They had a young and upcoming Fred Warner. You had Richard Sherman in the secondary. That was Dante yesterday on Hot Takes on NBC Sports Bay Area. Offensively, the reason I bring this up is because the demise of the 49ers this season, absolutely, have at it. they're done. Injuries, weirdness, coach. I mean, it's just this ball of stew that is just garbage, right? It's like 2020, but I think it's even worse. But what Dante points out is that is the charge of this offseason for the 49ers, and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch haven't gone through this before. They've lost their identity. You've lost your way, man, which is their identity is I'm going to punch you in the mouth. We're going to run the football. We're going to dominate you on the offensive and defensive lines. How do you do that when Colt McKivitz is your right tackle and Aaron Banks is your left guard and Jake Brendel is your center? You can't. You can't run the ball like you want to run the ball. CMC, Mason, Guarendo, whatever that guy's name that Lombardi just had up there, you can't do it. But the worst part is the defensive line and how they just neglected that. And as he pointed out, it started with Buckner, which is just ill. Nobody talks about that enough. We all talk about Trey Lance and this move and that move. And believe me, by and large, they've done a really nice job through the draft and signing the right free agents. But if you really go back to the demise of what this team is going through and has gone through, they dominated on the defensive line. And they'll never tell you this, but the downfall really and why they're struggling right now, offensively, they're always going to score with Kyle Shanahan. You don't even have to worry about that side of the ball. We don't even have to discuss it. You know, they're going to give Brock the money, but they're going to have Purcell and they're going to have Ayuk, which they said to sign. And maybe CMC is never going to be what he was. I don't know. But Mason's there. The Shanahan's Mike, Kyle, they always find a running back. Matt Breida, Olandis, Gary. I mean, go through the Broncos and the Niners, and they always find a running back. Don't worry about it. They always find skill position players. The offense is designed to get people open, and it does. But defensively is where they've fallen off. And yeah, Fred's hurt and Greenlaw's hurt and everything, but it's the defensive line. They've never found a bookend for Nick Bosa. The idea that they could just kind of piece together this interior defensive line, that ain't working. Javon Hargrave's never going to play for the 49ers again. He was actually, if you just follow the crumbs, and went from Buckner to Kinlaw, and then, oh my God, we got to pay Hargrave because Kinlaw was no good, and we never should have traded Buckner. So that's just kind of how that went. But if the 49ers are going to be anything in the near future, the entire offseason needs to be about A, fixing the defense, but more so fixing the defensive line. I mean, if I'm Nick Bosa, and I'm just, look, I'm not saying this is going to happen. He just signed a contract. He's not going anywhere. But if I'm Nick Bosa, I'm going into the 49ers and putting pressure on him. Guys do it all the time. Like, I'm a one-man show on this defensive line. Can you get me somebody opposite on the other end so I'm not doubled and chipped and blah? Like, these are the injuries. Nick Bosa has to fight through an army of guys to get to the quarterback every single week, and people think he's having a down year. Watch the damn tape. The dude, like, he's the only dude defensively. Fred's been hurt. The secondary's young. But, I mean, really, and I like Demo Lenore. That's a great sign. I need to keep him around. But, like, Nick's the guy, and that's who they game plan against every single week. And the guy just, it's ridiculous if you go back and watch. So the charge on the 49ers is the defensive line. That's it in the offseason. Offense is fine. The point in bringing this all up is let the national media have their fun. Let them all say that the 49ers are done. Let them put dirt on the coffin. But I just don't think that's the case long term. But they've got to fix the defense. Offense will take care of itself. And this division, while the Rams and the Seahawks and the Cardinals are getting younger and better talent, and I really like Mike McDonald. Sorry to say it. But Mike McDonald is a really good defensive mind who's his system. He started with the Ravens. He was at Michigan, went to the Ravens. It's not that Seattle defense, which the 49ers and Kyle loves, and this is one of Kyle's downfalls this year, is not only hiring Nick Sorensen, but just that same old Seattle defense. Hey, man, we do what we do. You know what we're going to do, but we just do it better, and we got a lot of talent. Eh. Not when you start getting hurt. Not when you start losing guys because Brock Purdy's going to make $50 million. You've got to change up your scheme. Nick Bosa's out. Nah, we're not blitzing. We're going with four. So the way it goes, that's what we do. You got to change it up. Other teams have changed it up against the 49ers. They run a hell of a lot more man. Oh, Kansas City did that to the Niners in the Super Bowl. There's the blueprint, but we're just going to do what we do. That's not what teams do anymore. Mike McDonald, all these defensive coordinators, they're moving, they're shaking, they're changing things, different looks, all these things. The 49ers don't do that. So it needs to be a philosophical change, but it also needs to be personnel changes defensively. So that's my thought on the 49ers, and that's really the only thing that intrigues me. If I'm wrong, at John Lund Radio and hit me up in the chat. I'm going to move from the 49ers, so let me look. Anyone who want to hit that? Let's see. let's see, Lunds of Funds. Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. Let's see, what else do we got? You want to hit 49ers at all? How cold is your house? Thank you for the question, Jeff. It's really not that cold. I'm in a studio separate from my house. We built a studio separate from my house because my wife is like, you're loud, you're obnoxious. No. I just put this on today because, I mean, I have a ton of hats back here that I could put on because it's actually not that cold. Don't Be a Richard is a favorite. This is actually my first rodeo is a favorite. I got a ton back here. You're not interested, and especially if you're, oh, this is my favorite, especially if you're listening on the podcast, you have no idea what I'm doing. Support Day Drinking is a favorite. So I'm a big trucker hat fan. People look at me weird when I'm out in public, like, what are you doing? But it's just, what are you doing? But it's not that cold in here. It's kind of winterish for me. I have very thin California blood, if you're watching from somewhere else. I lived in Detroit, Pittsburgh, all those different places. I can never go back. But it's really the fact that, I'll be honest, it's just due to the fact that I was lazy this morning. I got up at about 6:30, did a bunch of stuff, drank some coffee, big coffee guy. We could talk coffee all day long, you know, but it's not that cold in my house. Let's see, what else do we got? Thank you, Tacky. Worked at a restaurant with a GM named Richard. That can be an unfortunate name if you're sophomoric like I am, but I'm going to get past it. Khalil, thank you. A football question on the 49ers. John, I think we need to scratch the wide nine. I don't know that they need to scratch the wide nine. I mean, it works. It definitely, as you well know, because you're asking the question, it opens up a lot of gaps defensively. I'm not going to get into, you know, the deepness of all this kind of thing because I just don't know that this is the place, the form, and people's eyes start glazing over. But the one thing is it's susceptible to the run because of the splits. In other words, where they line up, we can get deep, baby. Because of where they line up, it's susceptible against the run, and the 49ers have been susceptible against the run for, I don't know, going on two seasons now. I mean, that's just the way it goes. And then the last thing I'll say about the 49ers, because there's a ton to get to today, and I want to get to all of it. A lot of stuff on the Warriors last night that I want to hit up. Farhan as a spy, Corbin Burns, broadcasters, Caboose Pistol. We got a ton of stuff. But again, you want to talk about something? I love interaction. I don't mean to go all ADD on you, but I love interaction. I don't have to be right. In our country, nobody can debate anything without people getting all pissed off. All the talking head shows, screaming, yelling, all that kind of stuff. That's why, like, inside the NBA, they get it. I don't have to be right. Oftentimes I'm not. Don't take my betting advice ever. That's one thing is, as you listen to the show on a daily basis, please make sure. I have all these philosophies and all these different things, and I know betting has taken off, and I know that eventually I'll probably get some sort of a betting sponsor here. But my bet, I mean, I could never, I seriously, I'd live in a box if my income had to be betting. I mean, it's brutal the way that I do those kind of things. But anyway, I love interaction. I don't have to be right. So whether it's at John Lund Radio on Twitter, whether it's comments on the YouTube page, Unleashed, whether it's right here, which I love going live and on the chat, however it is that you want to interact or tell me I'm stupid or right or whatever the case may be, I try to return on everything. I'm on Instagram as well, at John Lund Radio, and I've gotten a ton of reaction both on Instagram, Twitter, and all these different forums. So I really appreciate that. But interact is my point. Interact, whether I'm on the air, off the air, whatever. I'm going to be on the air as much as I possibly can on the YouTube channel and subscribe to the podcast, Unleashed. So I just love that kind of stuff. Like a lot of people aren't that way. And again, I'm on Twitter right now. We're going to get a dedicated text line because I believe in that at KBR. I really liked having a text line in front of me where people could react in real time. So anyway, for now, at John Lund Radio and in the chat. Tacky asking, can we get Papa's weekly gambling picks? When we were in Vegas last year, last story, and then I'll get to the chalkboard because there's a lot there. When we were in Vegas last year, you would have thought that the area of the casino, because we all stayed in hotels last year at the Super Bowl where there were obviously casinos. I mean, it was like kryptonite to him. He couldn't pass through. I mean, he was so paranoid to even go into a sports book. And that's just the way that the NFL is. But then what was funny was right after the game where there was narrowly a 49ers fan, all week long it was all 49ers fans. We were having a great time. And then I walk, I don't know, 4 hours past after the game or whatever and going through the casino back to my room, not one 49ers fan, but it was a great time all week long. But Greg was like, don't get me near the casino. But then afterwards, like, I saw players everywhere. Like, oh my God, the game's over. So I don't know what the rules are. But yeah, we'll get Pop on the show. It's just the furthest thing from his mind will be gambling. He will not do gambling segments. Does John Lund have a... Hi, Rockland. Rockin'. Does John Lund have a Papa impression like everyone has at KBR? How did you know that? Well, actually, they do it on the air all the time. What's funny about that, and I promise this is the last one. What's funny about that is there was a Papa impression that he hated at 95.7, and it was more like a Ron Burgundy type. Hit up Dan Dibley. Dibley does the best 95.7 impression of Papa, and it was more like, this is Greg Papa, like, and he hated it. Anyway, that doesn't sound like me. So that was the Papa impression on 95.7. And then the Papa impression at KNBR is more like, hello, John. And it sounds nothing like him. And I think Copeland was the author. It might have been Polly. But you are 100% correct. Everyone has one. The versions, who has the best one? I'd probably go with Cope's. Underrated was Polly. My producer... Walter had a really good one. I'm trying to think. Michael, who's the production guy or the multimedia guy at KNBR, had a really underrated one. But yeah, everybody had one. I really don't have one, but it's weird how at the two stations everyone had one and Greg hated them both. So there's no doubt about it that everybody had one. What else do we got? Keep them coming. Let's see. Well, a weekly gambling picks. Yeah, John Lovitz. A little bit like that. Yeah, I would say that. All right, let's get to more stuff. Let's get to more sports stuff because I'll get as you can see, I'll get distracted easily. That's kind of what I do. So let's get down to. I did Dante agrees. Let's get to the Kerr/Pods thing here. Let me pop this one up. It says, thanks to NBC Sports Bay Area, by the way, great Warriors coverage. Steve Kerr publicly called out Brandon Podziemski's decision-making after tonight's frustrating loss to the Nuggets. That allows me to kind of go on a tangent about Brandon Podziemski, and it's nothing against him. I like Pods, man. You can tell, and he's going to get better, but you can tell that he's one of those glue pieces. And he's not going to be an Andre Iguodala. He's not going to play that kind of defense, but he is going to give you a little bit of everything, right? He's scrappy. Comp for him, I'm trying to think in my mind who's a comp, but it's just he's a scrappy kind of a guy. He'll do a little bit of everything. I wouldn't start him, but he can ball handle a little bit. He can shoot a little bit. He takes a ton of charges, obviously. He's a fan favorite. He's just Alex Caruso kind of a guy. He's got more talent than Caruso, but he's kind of an Alex Caruso type. I know Caruso was a Laker, and you probably hated him. I think he's in OKC now. He's been traded a couple times, played for the Bulls, had the worst hair possibly in the entire history of the NBA, maybe outside of Granville Waiters. I'm going way back and showing some age there. Granville Waiters, who actually wore the horseshoe. It's like, dude, shave your head. But he didn't. Podziemski's got wonderful hair, by the way. But the point of Brandon Podziemski is that in the offseason, wouldn't trade him. They made him untouchable. And, you know, I'm going to go into Farhan being a spy with the Dodgers in a few minutes here, but it's like these, if you're not willing to take a chance on something, then you're never going to get better. I thought the whole point of the Warriors was we got to make sure we maximize Steph Curry's time left. Can he win another championship? Well, we're finding out now because at the beginning of the season, the strength in numbers thing came back and they were really deep. Hell, they were 15 deep, 14, 15 deep. I know you can only have 12. But, I mean, they were rolling with a 10, 11-man rotation and sometimes even 12, and you knew injuries would happen, Melton, and now Draymond Green is out for a while, and it's an older team. Curry's going to miss some games, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's 82 games. It's a long way. And so you knew this was going to happen. But through the history of the game, there are absolutely exceptions to every rule, but what I'm getting at is you can't play 10, 11, 12 men. It's been proven. The NBA goes back to the 40s, right? Maybe it's been done, and I just don't remember, but I'm just going to generally speak and say it with confidence, and then so you'll believe me. It's never been done. This deep rotation of 10, 11, 12, it's great, but it also smacks of, during the regular season, it could be fine, and then you get into the playoffs, and really it's about your top two or three players. Go back in the history of the NBA, and if you don't have those top two or three players, you can go back to, like, I don't know, the 79 Sonics, who don't exist anymore, and Gus Williams and Dennis Johnson and Jack Sikma, and they had some guys, but they didn't have like superstar guy. But for the most part, 99 out of 100, there's superstars, then there's a second guy, then there's a third guy. That's just how you build the house. I didn't make the rules. That's just how it's built. And so my point on Podziemski, to come back around to him, is I like Brandon Podziemski, but he's an Alex Caruso type, more talented, but you understand what I'm saying. I like Podziemski. It's nothing against him. But the Warriors, at least according to reports, during the offseason said, nope, untouchable. Andrew Wiggins, untouchable. On down the line, Jonathan Kuminga, untouchable. I sound like Russell Wilson doing unlimited. Sorry. I don't know why I got into that. But all these guys are untouchable. The point of the league is to take a number of guys who are good, not great. And we always do this as fans. We always like, trade this five pieces of junk for a good piece. It doesn't work like that. Both teams have to get something out of the deal, depending on what direction they're going into. The Warriors' direction is clear. Curry, Curry, Curry until he falls over and retires. That's it. They're riding the train. They're riding the horse. It's going. Keep going, Steph. Keep going. And when he's done, then the Warriors are done and they're going to have to rebuild. So when you do that, you have to make tough decisions. I like Kuminga, but he's maddeningly inconsistent. He had some nice plays last night, which, by the way, I got to get into the NBA Cup. My God. Was your TV as screwed up as mine on that yellow court? Hold off, Lund. No ADD. But I would have traded Podziemski in the offseason, not because he's off to a rough start, but because I could see what he was, and guys make improvements in the NBA. Guys jump. It's not, you know, from rookie year to second or third or fourth or fifth or whatever, guys aren't exactly what they're going to be. So I understand that, but you have to take a chance sometimes. Maybe Pods is going to blow up on our face if we trade him. Maybe, you know, maybe Kuminga is too. But I've always been a big advocate of, You have one direction, and you kind of set it up that way. What are you trying to be? The Warriors are trying to be championship contenders. It hasn't worked in the history of the league to have that kind of depth. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, at John Lund Radio, and hit me up in the chat. But it doesn't generally work that way. It was a fun concept at the beginning of the season, but Steve Kerr's trying to work out rotations. I said this over and over on KNBR. This happened last year. Steve Kerr has to work on the rotations. They're in a losing streak. All these things. It was off to a great start. I'm not down on the Warriors whatsoever. What I'm saying is at some point, it's not about the rotation. It's about, you know what? Let's take these three guys and take a chance because Steph Curry's the guy. I got news for you. When Steph Curry leaves, breaking news. When Steph Curry leaves, the Warriors are going to suck badly. They're going to be in the lottery every single year. They're going to suck. So whether you have Kuminga, who hasn't shown the ability to be a number one, or whether you have Podziemski, or whether you have Wiggins, or whether you have, you're going to suck. It's the natural progression of sports, highs, lows. And you can be the Patriots or the Spurs or the Warriors, and you can fight off Father Time by making great moves and trades and draft picks and everything else. The Spurs did it. They elongated their run with Kawhi Leonard. You know, teams get lucky and like the Colts and go from like Manning, you know, Luck and, you know, things like that, that you can get that kind of thing. The 49ers get lucky with Brock Purdy. So those kind of things happen and they widen or lengthen your window, not widen, but lengthen your window for a little bit longer. But you've got to have a direction. Didn't we already learn with Wiseman and all these young guys that they had and Jordan Poole, which was different reasons, that you can't do both? But it seems right now they're kind of still trying to do both. We don't want to trade the youth. We don't want it to blow up on our face. We don't want to look stupid in 5 or 10 years. You're going to look stupid in 5 years. I don't know when Steph's going to retire. When he retires, you're done. Doesn't matter if it's Pods. Doesn't matter if it's Kuminga. Doesn't matter if it's any of those guys. Nobody has shown the ability to be that number one guy that you need to rebuild with. So when those guys are gone, you're out on the hunt again for a Durant and a Curry and a, you know, whatever. You know, maybe, I don't know if they can get Giannis. I doubt it. Anyway. Just to stay on point, I don't know why they didn't trade Pods. I don't know why teams continually say that this guy's untouchable, that guy's untouchable. Go for it. The point of sports is a championship. Not 10 years of, hey, we made the playoffs, keep the turnstiles moving. That's what some teams do. Owners all don't want to win. It's a business to a lot of them. I've been told that by owners to my face. This is just one of my businesses. I remember when I was in Salt Lake City, Larry H. Miller owned the Jazz. He's since passed away. He owns tons of car dealerships. He owns like 50 major big businesses. And he was on the air one day, and we were talking about the role of an owner. And in and out. Are you just burning to win and this and that? And then, so yeah, he's like, yeah. I just want to win. I want to win. They had constraints there. And then he passed away and his son, Greg, took over the team. And Greg came on like one of his first interviews, Greg Miller. And he said to me, just another one of my businesses. We got 50 businesses. You know, it's just another one. I don't look at it in any different way. And I was like, whoa. So some owners are that way. Some owners want to go for it. Joe Lacob's a go-for-it guy, but at some point, all the duct tape that you use to keep everything together, finally he has to rip it off, and you have to do a total remodel. And the Warriors, I'm not saying need to do a total remodel, but what they do need to do is take some of these pieces, Pods included, maybe Kuminga. Take a stand, Lund. Kuminga, absolutely, and say, who can we get? Because right now, it's starting to fall apart. Right now, they don't look like an upper echelon team. Right now, and maybe I'm wrong. You know, Draymond Green was out. There's a lot of things that were happening last night. There's no question about it. Injuries happen, but they are an older team. That's going to keep happening. You know, when we constantly say when the Niners get healthy, when the Giants get healthy, when the Warriors get healthy, older teams don't get healthy. They break down more. That's what's happening with the 49ers. That's what's going to happen with the Warriors unless they get younger, unless they get a true number two guy and maybe a number three guy. Because I'm not convinced it's Pajemski. Certainly it's not. I don't think it's Kuminga. And you know what? I'm the type of person, and look, I'm not sitting in their chair, so it's easy for me to sit here in my studio and say this. Who cares if it comes back to bite you? We're not in that kind of a market. Like in New York, they would just hound you. I can't believe you traded that guy. Look how good he's become. Yeah, for every Zach Wheeler who took 5 or 6 years and the Giants fans were just ruthless about it. He was just okay. And then he exploded on the scene. Carlos Beltran, 2011. I'm fine with the Giants going for it. Go for it. That's what we want as fans. And if a guy blows up and he's awesome, oh, well, you tried. I can defend that. I'm all right with it. All right, give me your thoughts. Chat line is wide open. John Lund Unleashed, thanks for joining us. Former KNBR. So I'm going to be here every day at 8 a.m., and then throughout the day, and we're going to do nighttime chats as well. Mondays, I'm going to be with Larry Kruger. I'm setting it up so we can get a bunch of our favorite radio people on the show, plus a bunch of other big guests. So I'm just doing the first few days to just kind of, you get to know me, I get to know you, all those kind of things. So that's kind of what we're doing. And then we're going to blow off with guests and all sorts of cool stuff. So keep with me, stay with me, subscribe, all those kind of stuff. All right, let's get to... let's see. Oh, yeah. Before before we get off the NBA and we get to some baseball topics and Farhan being a double agent, I'm not a hater. People have called me that in the past. I'm not a hater. I want to love stuff. I'm one of those people that, maybe you're different than this, I'm one of those people who gives people the benefit of the doubt. I'm really nice, and I believe in the good in people. And then if they double-cross me, you're off my list for life. It's very hard to get back. That's just my philosophy. Some people are very skeptical and it takes a long time for them to soften up in front of somebody and then it's cool. I'm the opposite. I love to bring things in. I love to take chances on things. So when they talked about the NBA Cup for the first time, I thought, you know what? I'm going to be open-minded about it. I'm not going to hate. Everybody else did. I hate the Cup, stupid. The Lakers won it last year and they were talking it up and they're drinking champagne and all this kind of stuff. And then a couple of days ago, LeBron said, that thing's stupid because they got knocked out of it. Now you can see if you're watching on the podcast on the YouTube channel, John Lund Unleashed, that there's the seedings for the NBA Cup and the 49ers, the Warriors and the Rockets there and all those different teams. And then I'm watching last night and my eyes are being bombarded by that. I don't know what that court was that they had in Denver, that yellow thing. Maybe you like it. I'm not the demo for it. I texted my 20-year-old kid who's going to school at Arizona State and said, is this cool? And he said, no, it's burning my eyes out. And I said, yeah, same thing. Okay, good. We're on the same page. I don't want to hate it. And maybe this analogy works and maybe it doesn't. But how about this? When you eat something, let's throw something out there, a salad. If you eat a salad's got to have dressing, right? Or it sucks. A cake has to have frosting for the most part, like a cupcake without frosting is no good. I mean, whatever you want, sauce, right? Sauce is boss. You got to have sauce on something. To me, if something's really good, maybe a steak needs a little salt and pepper, you throw it on the grill. If something's really, really good, this food analogy, I hope it's working for you. If something's really, really good, it doesn't need a lot of seasoning. It doesn't need frosting. It doesn't need sauce. It doesn't need gobs of dressing. Now, things can be better. You know, like I like a, you know, like a little hollandaise on the eggs or something, or I like a little, yeah, a little bit of frosting's nice. I like salsa on chips. It makes it on tortilla chips at a Mexican restaurant. It makes it better. But the NFL, now look, the NFL has 17 games, soon to be 18 games. So yeah, that's not an apt comparison because you never get tired of it and every week means something. Does baseball over 162 games need some sort of a, it's the MLB Cup. I don't know. I don't think so, but it is a long, I'll give you this, it is a long season. But the NBA has tried this NBA Cup thing and it's on its second season and I can't follow it along. Like, when are the games? What's going on? Oh, yeah, there's an obnoxious court in Denver that's burning my eyes out. Oh, it must be the NBA Cup. And at the end of the whole thing, you've seen this long enough, you get the idea, if you're on YouTube. I just took it down. But my point of the whole thing is that it's just not working. When did it become that the 82 games just weren't enough and these guys flying through the air and all these kind of things? I'll tell you when it changed, because everybody... And I love Steph, but everybody now jacks up threes, and aesthetically it's not as good of a game as it used to be, and there can be boring lapses. And the fact of the matter, the bottom line to the whole thing is 82 games is too much. And they're starting earlier and earlier. I don't need basketball in October. Football's a month old, college and pro. I'm watching that constantly. And they know a faction of the NBA audience starts to care in December when they put the games on Christmas. Another faction of the NBA fan base starts to care after the All-Star break, and that's really because you're getting into the sprint. I mean, that's really when you start. There's just too many games, but I understand these guys have to make millions and millions of dollars, and so you have to start the season in October because you need the revenue. I understand how it all works, but the NBA Cup ain't it. And I don't like to bitch and moan. I don't. But to me, it seems like you have a salad in front of you, and it's really healthy and really good, and it's got all sort of gobs of stuff on it, and it looks good when it comes to the table. And then you take the ranch dressing, and you just go, and you just load it up with ranch dressing, you stir it around, and you go, this is the best salad I ever had. Well, it is now, because you put 1,000 calories on it, maybe more. I'm not a dietitian. I have no idea. I don't eat well. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in the NBA Cup. Thoughts? I'd love to know your thoughts in the NBA Cup. At John Lund Radio on Twitter. Hit me up right here. What do you think? Let's see. What else do we got? Vegan sushi is fire. Valentine's Day. I'm a vegetarian. I gave you a vegetarian kind of thing. thank you, Jason. It is nice to be able to talk every once in a while. I love Greg to death, but you understand what I'm saying. They actually call it a cup. Hi, 49ers Red Zone. Big fan. Weak sauce. Yeah, they're calling it the NBA Cup. It's got a sponsor, but it's not my, you know, it's not my job to give you the sponsor. I just want to know your thoughts. Let's go to this thing. I want to talk about Farhan for a second here. Where's the picture? Here, right here. There you go. Ken Rosenthal reports. And thanks for joining me at John Lund Radio. John Lund Unleashed podcast, YouTube channel and podcast. And I am referencing, if you're listening on the podcast, to a lot of things that visually we're seeing here in the chat and people who are watching. But Ken Rosenthal reports, sources, Farhan Zaidi talking to Dodgers about front office role. was Farhan just some kind of a spy? How long was he here? 5-6 years, I think 2018. Is he just some kind of a spy to ruin the Giants for a number of years and then his little laugh runs off to Dodger Town where he was? He was an abject failure as the general manager. And the thing that sucks about that is when I was working with Tom before I started working with Greg, we had Farhan out every single week. And he was a nice enough guy and we talked about fantasy football and he was as honest as you possibly could be. But he even admitted it. He's a nerdy guy. And he just went with too many numbers and too many this and too many that. And here's the lineup and all that kind of stuff. Maybe it works. Maybe it does. But the one thing that is great that I think is going to be great with Buster Posey, and I have no idea, and we talked about this when he was hired. He's a franchise icon. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. But he is going to get a lot of grief if he doesn't start changing some things around here. And I'm not impatient in the offseason. I'm not. And I'm going to get to Corbin Burns in just a second. I'm not impatient. Show patience, Buster. And you just saw that again. He added another scouting type, and Manassian is a scout, his general manager. So if you don't understand the direction that Buster Posey is going, you're not paying attention. He's not going to go out and spend millions and millions of dollars. He's going to try to develop this thing, and he's not going to get fired. at least in the short term, because you're going to look at this whole thing. Look, the front office loves Buster Posey. All the people who control the purse strings around the big mahogany table for the Giants, that group, they love Buster Posey. So for a while, at least, he's going to get some slack here. And I think what he's going to do, he's not going to tear this thing down to the studs like the Astros or the Cubs or something like that, and then they ended up winning World Series. But he is going to make this more of a scouting thing. He's going to do what he knows. He referenced this during his press conference. He referenced it when he was talking to Greg Papa and I right afterwards. He's a scouting guy, and he knows Brian Sabian, and he brought back, I know, the assistant. And, you know, all these kind of things. So he's going to Bobby Evans. So he's going to build this thing from the ground up. That's what he's going to do. But I do think he's going to be smart in who he signs. The one thing I hope he does that Farhan didn't, and I talk about this again and again, it's obvious to me the direction the Giants should go, is bring in all the pitching you can, starters, relievers, just load it up, man, like a dumpster, and it's overflowing. And then take your young pitching, and I include Kyle Harrison in this. You can disagree with me. I include Birdsong in this. I don't know anything about, you know, Wisenhunt or any of these guys, Mason Black, but it seems to me that those are decent names. I'd trade all those young guys for hitting. That would be my farm system philosophy, unless it's like a Tim Lincecum or a Mad Bum or something like that where it's just like, this guy's going to be a star. I'm trading all the young pitching, and I'm getting hitting with it because it'll never sign with me. I've got that's my strategy. Young pitching gets traded for hitting, and I can sign pitching till the cows come home. I can sign most pitchers as long as I pony up the money. Pitchers don't have a problem playing here. Pitchers love this ballpark. They've never had a problem signing. Even when it was Farhan going, hey, you want to pitch for the Giants? Can you imagine him in a meeting trying to pitch somebody? I just don't see it. That's another reason. Buster walking into a room versus Farhan walking into a room. Hi, I got my beans here and I'm counting everything up. Here's what's going on. Here's what I project you to do. God, does anybody else have an offer on the table for me? Who's this guy? Buster's going to be able to close those things, but they can get pitching. They can get starters, relievers, big names, small names, whatever. Go sign that. Use your allocation of money for that. And then take the young pitching. I don't care who it is, especially right now. Harrison's okay. I'm willing to take a chance on him becoming great. I don't know that that's going to happen. I like Birdsong a lot. We had him on the patio last year. Really smart kid from the Chicago area. His family grew up Cubs fans. Not that you needed to know that. But I like Birdsong. You know, I don't know enough about Black or Wisenhunt or any of these other guys that they have in the system. I'm not trading Bryce Eldridge because he's a bat. But as far as the young pitching is concerned, trade it all for hitters, for guys who have to come here, for guys who are under contract. Because the best thing I've heard this offseason is they're not going after Juan Soto. They're not wasting their precious time. So there's my thought on that. Give me a thought. And then as far as Burns is concerned, Corbin Burns, this is John Morosi, and again, if you're listening on the podcast, I've popped up this John Morosi tweet. The Giants are interested in Corbin Burns, as reported by Mark Feinsand, at Feinsand. Unlike some teams pursuing Burns, the Giants are not linked to Juan Soto. Thank you! And can allocate greater financial resources to Burns now, blah, 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 blah. Corbin Burns is perfect. But let's have a bet, you and I. I don't know. What are we going to bet? A beer, a buck? Some whiskey, I don't know. Corbin Burns is from here. Don't let that scare you like the Aaron Judge thing. Corbin Burns is his closest team to where he grew up. He played at St. Mary's. It makes a ton of sense. Plus, if you weren't with me yesterday, I talked about this. Blake Snell was never going to stay a Giant. I knew that right away. I talked to people right away. He pitched 104 innings. He was hot and cold. That's not what the Giants want to do. The Dodgers are willing to take that chance because they have so many resources and so much money that they can make a $182 million mistake on Blake Snell. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. But he pitched 104 innings. Yamamoto got all that money, pitched 90 innings. Two of their projected starters in the rotation, Tony Gonsolin is one of them. And, of course, Otani's another, pitched zero innings last year. Tyler Glasnow did what late in the season what Tyler Glasnow does, which is he got hurt. He pitched 134 innings, nothing in the playoffs. So it's, I'm not saying that the Dodgers aren't going to win the division. They're going to win the division, but they have a lot of money tied up in guys who are very questionable in terms of how many innings they're going to pitch this year. The Giants, on the other hand, want a bunch of Logan Webbs, and that's what Corbin Burns is. Now, he's better, I think, than Logan Webb, but he's going to give you 200 innings. Go back and look over the last number of years, whether it be Milwaukee or this one season with the Orioles, he's exactly what the Giants are looking for. Sign Corbin Burnes. But Morosi also said that Corbin Burnes was going to cost more than $200 million. And you're saying to yourself, fine, that double spy, Farhan Zaidi, who's now going to go to the Dodgers, who ruined the Giants, damn him. He's gone. We'll spend money. Buster Posey will walk into that mahogany table with all those people who are holding tightly to the purse strings for some reason because the Giants aren't really paying anybody. And they're just going to loosen him up. Oh, it's Buster. Take all the gold, Buster. Take all the gold. No, it's not happening. It's the same people with the purse strings. 5 years for a pitcher? $200 million? So I'm not sure that that's going to be something that the new Giants regime, but the old regime that have the purse strings are going to say, yeah, Buster, here's $200+ million, because Morosi said that's what it's going to take to get Corbin Burnes in the building. And I don't see that the Giants have changed that philosophy. I don't know that if that was a Farhan philosophy or a Giants philosophy, but generally speaking, I know Zito got it. You're going to tell me right now in the chat or at John Lund Radio on Twitter. Dude, by the way, I need to check Twitter since I said I would check it. You think it's a different regime and they have paid money in the past, but, you know, the Matt Cain contract didn't work out. The Barry Zito contract didn't work out. Even short-term, when Tim Lincecum was losing it and I got in a fight with Chris Lincecum over it, even short-term, giving Timmy $30 or $40 million didn't really work out. They haven't had the best of luck. And when they had good luck, like Kevin Gausman, Farhan said, nah, I'm good. Now, they did a good job not giving Carlos Rodon the money. He hasn't been good in New York, but you get my drift. They're really not known for throwing a lot of nickels around when it comes to pitchers, and they're scared about injuries, and they can't. And I know that you're going to scream and yell about this, but they're not the Dodgers. They're not the Yankees. They're not the Red Sox. They could be and should be, and maybe in 10 years with the A's leaving the market, and they're now the largest single market team in baseball. Let that sink in. They're the largest single market team in baseball. New York's got two. Chicago's got two. LA's got two. It's the largest single market team in baseball. But it's not going to reflect now. A's fans aren't going to become Giants fans, but, you know, the ones that are being born and all these kind of things and the young ones, it's kind of like when the Raiders left. You had no choice but to be a Niners fan. That's what they became, and then the Raiders came back, and everyone went, where's our fan base? They're all Niners fans. They're all wearing red. Well, that's going to happen in time, and maybe they'll spend money then, but history is the greatest indicator of future performance, and what the Giants have done, at least in recent times, after they signed Zito to 7, is say, whoa, man, you kidding? Or Kane got hurt, and they went, wow, and that was, what, 112, 119, whatever the millions of dollars was? But they just, that's not what they've done. So until they do, even though I think Corbin Burnes is the perfect fit for the Giants, and I just told you that they could sign any pitcher they wanted, and I think they can, but it's based on money. Corbin Burnes isn't going to be like, I'm coming home, I'm pitching in a great park, I'll give you a discount. He's not going to do that. The Orioles want him back, major market teams want him. Corbin Burnes and, oh, Scott Boras is his agent, so he's not going to settle for less. The Giants are going to have to give him $200 million, but I don't see it. But I could be wrong, so you and I can make a bet on that. You think they're going to get Corbin Burnes? I don't. I want him. He'd be my number one target. That way you've got Webb, you got Burnes, Robbie Ray hopefully is back in form, and then I'd sign another one, and then maybe one of the young guys is my fifth starter. I'm fine with that, but as I said, I'm trading the young pitching, Kyle Harrison and Birdsong included, and I'm getting hitters because I'm sick of watching this offense, and I'm sick of a guy like Jorge Soler or something like that will come. That's not a major bat. That's somebody who's like, they're giving me the most money. Hell with it. All right, there's my baseball rant. Give me your thoughts. Let me go back out. It is John Lund Unleashed at John Lund Radio on Twitter. Please subscribe. Tell your friends. Listen, watch. I'll have the podcast up later if you missed any of the show, and then you can drive home with the podcast. We'll do this every day at 8 a.m. throughout the day when news breaks and other kind of stuff, and it doesn't have to be sports news. Again, another great perk of doing this is we can talk about whatever we want, however we want. It's awesome. It is Unleashed. So make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends. I'm on Instagram at John Lund Radio, on Twitter /X at John Lund Radio, and the YouTube channel is John Lund Unleashed. And let me do this one more time before we get to the caboose pistol. This is what it looks like. And I do have two of these up there. I worked for Locked On Sports for a while. And what they did was, wrong one. What they did was they still have an old page of mine up. So that's my Twitter. Make sure you're following at John Lund Radio. Popping that up for my good friends on YouTube. And then this is the YouTube page to follow. That's the YouTube page to follow. So please make sure that you're following that YouTube page. There's another one that they're taking down. So there's a little confusion right now. I apologize for that. But at John Lund, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, at John Lund Unleashed Pod, please make sure it looks like that. And then you're subscribing to the right channel. All right, finally, let me, because, and I'll get the audio up for this and all that kind of stuff and do the correct way that we do the Caboose Pistol. And I'll explain the Caboose Pistol. And actually, maybe tomorrow I'll put a video up of the Caboose Pistol so that you can kind of see what we do with it. But let me pop this Caboose Pistol up and we'll do a Caboose Pistol thing. Do I have a, maybe, I don't think I have Caboose Pistol in here. Let me see what I got. I don't think I have a Caboose Pistol. I have a one for the road.
One for the road.
Maybe this is one for the road, but we're gonna call it the Caboose Pistol. But like we've done all through the years that I've done this thing. But here's one Caboose Pistol for the road, and then I'll go out to the text line. Highway driver, this was yesterday. Highway driver finds venomous snake slithering up her leg. So I read this story. And I thought to myself, what would I do? I don't know. You probably saw Snakes on a Plane, kind of a cult movie with Samuel L. Jackson. And that was weird. And that made me weirded out for a while on a plane. But see how big that snake is? That is actually, if you're watching on the YouTube channel, that is actually the snake. It got into her car somehow. She's driving down the road at 60 miles an hour, and the snake starts crawling up her leg. And she had enough calmness to pull over to the side of the road while that big snake right there is crawling up her leg, gets out of her car, freaks out, but she's going like 60 miles an hour in the middle lane on the freeway, moves over a lane during drive time traffic, gets over to the shoulder calmly and gets out of the car, and then she starts losing her mind. I mean, could you do that? Could you have enough to be like, okay, it's cool, the snake's crawling up my leg, there is not one thing, here's where the debate lies. There is not one thing that freaks me out more than a snake. Everybody's got their phobias, right? Hit me up on the at John Lund Radio or on the chat right here. I don't know. Are you scared of sharks when you get in the water? Is it snakes for you? Is it like when I was growing up in Southern California, it was like we'd see tarantulas all the time and do all sorts of unspeakable things that I'd probably still get in trouble for. Had to do with hair nets and lighters. But anyway, I digress. But I mean, that's the one for me. Like snakes freak me out. And I used, as a kid, especially in Southern California, when it gets really hot, there were snakes all over the place. I didn't know what was what. I hate snakes. I had a roommate in college who had a snake. And predictably, the snake got out. He had it in an enclosure, and he's, yeah, it's not a problem, it's not a problem, it's not a problem, it's not a problem. Had I known he had a snake when he moved in, but he didn't, he bought one at the pet store one day, and then I come home, and we live in like a three-bedroom apartment. You know how college apartments are. There's food everywhere. So the thing's like, if I get out of this thing, man, I am munching food. And that's what happened. Couldn't find the thing for like 3 or 4 days. I'm like, dude, I am not coming home. I am not coming home. I'm not a snake guy. Can't stand snakes. I don't know who is a snake guy. Some people are. They love them. They let those big snakes like wrap around their neck or wrap around their arm or whatever the case may be. It's like, snakes aren't pets. Snakes are not pets. No. So anyway. There's your Caboose Pistol for the day. Highway driver finds venomous snake slithering up her leg. What is your phobia? Sharks, snakes, spiders? I don't know. It's snakes for me. Look at that thing. Crawling up your leg? I would have freaked out, hit the car next to me, flipped 5 times, and would be dead. There's no way I could handle that. Oh, it's a big old snake crawling up my leg. I'm good. Ah, that's cool. No problem. Calm, calm, calm. And then she gets out of the car. Ah! It freaks out and all these cars around her, but I mean, that thing was crawling up her leg as she drove. If you're listening on the podcast, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Go to the YouTube channel, at John Lund Unleashed, and you can see that. All right, there you go. Finally, let me see what we got going on the text line here. Let's see, let me pop this up just so you don't have to look at my face squinting towards this thing. Here is the YouTube page. So here's what we got. You're tripping. Love Caboose Pistol. I'll do more Caboose Pistol. You tripping? I'll do more Caboose Pistol. I'll get the audio. I'll make it sound more professional. But I wanted to make sure that I got one in today. Houdini the Snake. Rockin' New Era 84 is Lund Afraid. is led and afraid of Matt Maiocco, the Cobra. Oh my God, you got me on a tangent. Let's see, we've been on 57 minutes or 56. I guess I was on at 8:01 or 8:02. Sorry, I was late again today. I am not afraid of the Cobra, Matt Maiocco. He's one of my best friends in the industry. He was maybe the first person to call me when I was let go, which most people, by the way, I haven't brought this up. Most people treat you like a pariah or something, or like you have a disease or something. I can't call him. I can't interact with him. Oh, my God, I might catch it. I might catch getting laid off. Actually fired. I might catch it. You're not going to catch it. But Matt Maiocco is awesome. I've often told the story that in my first training camp of the 49ers covering them, and Jim Harbaugh had one of his famous three-hour practices that you can't do anymore in the searing heat. And I'm walking along the sideline, and I see this guy in like a safari hat. And I'm like, who's that jackass? What the hell is he wearing? And then, as you know, as you can see, I've got pale skin. Now, let me pop this down so that you can see it. As you can see, I have pale skin. And and I get burned to the crisp. And then I walk in, I remember I walk into, you know, the press conferences and Harbaugh and whatever, and everybody looks at me like, what a jackass this guy is. And I went up to Maiocco and I said, I don't know who you are, but you're the smartest man alive. And then that started our friendship, and whether it was at 95.7 and then he moved over to KNBR, he's just one of the best. I mean, I think you know that. I think that the people who cover the 49ers are tremendous, men and women both. But I'm just saying, Maiocco's become an awesome friend of mine, and he's great. Let me pop that up because I'm going to squint again. Part H, the John Lund Lair. Yeah, that's what I would call this, I guess. I got to make this a little better behind me, fix the lighting a little bit better. I got to get with Brody Brazil because Brody is the master. You ever watch Brody Brazil and his background? Now, he started behind the scenes in TV, but his background is awesome. Hurley Bird, beware the Chazza snake, John. See, that's my best papa that I've got. Thank you, Hurley Bird. You knew I would do that. Wife won't let me have a snake, True Blue Forever. Yeah, she's right, man. I mean, True Blue Forever, let me ask you this. I know this may sound weird. What does a snake give you in return? Like, I often talk about that with sports teams, and I don't mean to go on a tangent, but if your team's lost forever and ever and ever, what are you getting out of that relationship? Nothing but heartache. Drop that team. People are like, oh, you can't jump on the bandwagon. Sure I can. I can jump on the bandwagon all I want. But in terms of a snake, if we want to keep this consistent with what we're talking about, what does a snake give you in return? Like, I got a dog. I'm going to bring him in here at some point. A Bernedoodle. He's awesome. He doesn't look like a poodle. I'm not a poodle guy. But, like, I can pet him, and he's nice. And when you're going through stuff like I seem to be doing all the time, you curl up to him, and he makes you feel good. Doctors tell you it's good for psychology and all that kind of stuff. Like, what does a snake give you? Snakes aren't cuddly. Snakes don't feel good. They're kind of scaly and gross. I mean, like, what's the return? What's the ROI? What's the return of investment on a snake? Like, I don't know, snake snabler? That was a dad joke. That was terrible. But there's no return of investment. There's nothing for my investment into a snake. I don't know what I get. Watch it eat a mouse? I mean, that's about as good as it gets, right? Watch, and you throw something in there. That's what my roommate used to do. He'd get something, and he'd throw the food in there, and it would be alive for a minute, and then the snake would go and suck it up. Oh, look, it's going through its body. Great. It's not enough. It's not enough. All right. What else? God, what a tangent. Maddie, let's see, going up. The Lair. Thank you. Any rattlers? I don't think it was a rattler, by the way. Scorpions. Oh, good call, Danny. Scorpions. The band. I got a great Scorpions band story, but I'm not going to do that. Oh, look at, yeah, there you go, Danny. I see mostly bull snakes here in Arizona, but occasionally rattlesnakes. Yeah, a lot of friends and family in Arizona. We were doing one of the hikes there, and I saw a snake. I didn't stay around to see if it was a poisonous or not. That is not my deal, man. No way. Somebody's asking about guests. Let me just reset that one more time. I'm just being new this week, just for a few shows, and then I've got a great lineup of guests. It's going to be a lot of people, obviously, from the radio industry that you're not hearing from on a regular basis. So I think that's something that I'm absolutely going to do. And then, look, I'm going to get the big name guys. I already got the line in the water for those guys. So look, we're going to do a ton of guests. I'm not saying I'm not doing guests. I'm going to do a lot of guests, but I just wanted to kind of connect with you for a few days, and then we're gonna hold him up. I'm trying to get obviously Tolbert on the show. I want to get a lot of the, you know, the radio guys that you want to hear on a consistent basis. We're gonna do a lot of, you know, cross section type stuff on the shows. A lot of collaborations. I'm gonna be on with Larry Kruger every Monday. He's gonna be on this podcast. All different types of people. So yeah, absolutely. I love interviewing people, man. It's fun. And the way that I want to do it, just so that you know, I'm not going to just sit there and do hardcore sports talk with them. I think you want to know people. You know, like Matt Maiocco. If you don't know, like I was talking about Matt Maiocco, like Matt Maiocco is an awesome guy. And I don't think you get enough of Matt Maiocco, the guy. Or, you know, Tolbert, you got enough. You know what Tolbert is about. But I think a lot of these people, they all have cool stories and have covered teams forever. And it's just a lot of fun to find out who they are. Like when Pop and I would have Kevin Harlan on, or, you know, a lot of these guys, we didn't really get into sports. We got into Harlan, and it's intriguing and entertaining, and then you get to know them, and that's kind of my MO. I like to ask crazy questions, and I like to just have a conversation with people rather than be like, what's your insight on this, that, or the other? Which, like, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's kind of what we're going to do in the interviewing style, and that's what I've always liked to do. What else do we got? I had a friend in school. I should probably pre-read some of these because I don't know what you're going to say. So, let's see. All right. Jeff, I'm 59 and the snakes still scare the shit out of me. I don't know who they don't. Let's see. Jason says, Brody Brazil's been talking a lot about the Portland Diamonds project. Do you think Major League Baseball would work in Portland? I don't know if you're from Portland, Jason. I used to work up in Portland. My opinion on sports in Portland is they love the Blazers like crazy. I did pre and post on the network for the Blazers years ago with Michael Holton. And I covered the Ducks. In fact, I covered the Ducks national championship game against Auburn where they were robbed. What was that running back? Michael, what's his name, that was down. In Arizona, I covered that. So obviously the Ducks are huge. College football in general in that corner because it's right close to Oregon and Washington are right there. Vancouver, Washington's right next to Portland. So you got Huskies fans and Cougars fans and Oregon and Oregon State fans. Just Pac-12 and now, you know, whatever, where everybody is. But just tons of college football fans. So they're big into that. I went to a lot of college, I went to baseball games there because they had a AAA affiliate. Now I think it's an A affiliate, Emerald of the Hops or something like that. I just didn't see a lot of fervor for baseball in Portland. We never talked about it on the air. Some people were Mariners fans there, but only when they really won. Like I was up there in Seattle when the Mariners won 116 games, and you got a lot of people from Portland there, but I don't think it's a baseball town. I could be wrong. I don't think it's a baseball town. Let's see, what else do we got? Anybody else? You got any more questions or I'm going to go. I've really enjoyed hanging out with you. Why did I pop that up? That's injuries of 49ers. I don't know why I did that. Those are the injuries of the 49ers last season. I hit the wrong thing. I want to hit that. Just so you know, you're on that's the page that you need to subscribe to. Real quick, before I get out of here, how many football, baseball, basketball games do you still go to? Good question. I'll talk about it. Michael Dyer, you're the man. Thank you, Pat H. Michael Dyer. Would Brody move to Portland? Brody's a Bay Area guy. He's not going anywhere, and he's got some new deal. And I know what he's going to end up doing, but I can't tell you. Sorry, it's for him to break, all that kind of stuff. Let's see, newer. Hillsboro Hops. Thank you, my friend. Very nice. Tacoma Rainiers. Yep, that's a AAA team up there. What's your teams, John? All right, what's your teams, John? Let me answer those. Worked in a bank. Let's see. The question of what are my teams, and there was one other question that I wanted to answer. Oh, how many games do I go to? All right, I'm going to answer those two, and then we're going to wrap things up here on the podcast and the YouTube channel. I've been rolling for like an hour six, and people say that I can only keep your attention for like 45 minutes. I'm not even sure if I could do that. My teams, well, it's weird because I've been doing this for about 28 years, and my teams were the teams that would benefit me as a businessman, basically. If I was in a town, I mean, think about it logically. Of course I want the local teams to do well, because then you start to get the casual listener, the casual viewer, the casual sports fan, right? Think about it. When the Warriors have gone all those runs, they led the news with it. You'd have some news anchor lady, Stephon Curry, and it's like, what? What are you talking about? Like, everybody gets involved in it, right? The news gets involved. Everybody's happy. Our ratings would go up, all that kind of stuff. So from a business perspective, you want the local teams to do well. I've been in the Bay Area for 15 years, and I want – let me pop all that stuff out of there so you can actually see me here. I want the local teams to do well. I mean, that's just what my whole thing is I want the local teams to do well. And if they do well, then business is good. That's just kind of how the whole thing works. But what starts to happen within that is you start to get to know the players and the personnel and the coaches and the owners. So with the 49ers, and if a lot of you were around when I first got here, I did pre, half, and post for the Raiders when I worked with Greg and me and Bill Romanowski. Guess what? We were out on this big stage in the middle of the parking lot, and it was crazy, and Raider fans were awesome. So I wanted the Raiders to do well because it behooved me that they did well. It was good for business. Well, they didn't do well, and it became difficult, and Mark Davis got pissed off and everything else, and you know the history. So then when I've moved over to the 49ers, I know John Lynch and I know Kyle Shanahan. We're not buddies. I'm not saying that. But I know the players. I like George Kittle, et cetera, et cetera. Brock Purdy's a good guy. We went to, you know this because you listen. We went to training camp every single year. I got to know these guys a little bit. I'm not saying a lot. We didn't hang out. We're not friends. We're not besties. We're not texting. I'm not trying to paint that picture. But what I'm saying is you get to know them and you want them to win. And I know Tim Ryan really well, and, you know, he works for him. And you know, Bob Sargent, all these different guys that work within the organization, I want to win for them. I'm a fan. And then secondarily, it's good for business. So, yeah, I'm a Niners fan. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Warriors fan. I'm a Sharks fan. Like, I want the local teams to do well, It especially if you carry the games. I mean, if you carry the Giants, you carry the Niners, those ratings go up. So from a business standpoint, that. But in a long way to answer your question, my parents grew up in Chicago. So growing up, I was a Cubs fan. I'm not anymore. But I was a Cubs fan. I was happy in 2016 when they won the World Series because my whole family got to celebrate. My dad passed away to pancreatic cancer in 2014, so unfortunately he didn't get to see it, and he had been a Cubs fan, I mean a diehard Cubs fan his whole life. I was never a Bears fan, but my dad was. I remember him running around the house in 1985 when they won the championship, when they won the Super Bowl, that kind of stuff. I never became a Bears fan. I don't know that I really had a favorite NFL team growing up, but yeah, I want the Niners to do well. Basketball-wise, again, I started my career in the late 90s, and it was Stockton Malone. I was able to cover the Bulls locker room in 1998. So I'm like, I hope the Jazz win because I was assigned the Bulls locker room with a live mic. I was a young guy or new in the business, and here I am. The Bulls won a championship, and there's champagne getting poured, and I've got a live mic in Michael Jordan's face. Does it get better than that? So, yeah, I wanted them to do well because then that gave me opportunities to do more things. Hopefully that answered your question. It was incredible. In terms of how many games I go to, as many as I can. I love it. That's the one thing about this business. If I could do anything, I love being in the studio. But there's nothing that beats live games. And John Dickinson does just such a tremendous job of it. But if that paid the bills, I'd be a reporter. Because I was a reporter for probably the first 10 years of my career. I was a beat reporter. I traveled with teams in every single sport. And then what starts to happen is when you get into bigger and larger markets, there's specialized people who do all those things. So I host a show. I go to a lot of games. You know, like I said, I've gone to most games at Levi's Stadium just through what I did with pre, half, and post. Went to a lot of Giants games because our studios were in San Francisco. My favorite is I'm not saying my favorite sport is baseball. What I'm saying is my favorite. I mean, getting outside when it's a sunny day at Oracle Park, I'm sorry, nothing beats it. A football game can't beat it. Being inside Chase Center can't beat it, unless it's like a playoff game and it's just rocking and rolling. Like an NBA Finals game is awesome. Just incredible. The energy. A World Series game, the energy. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a general regular season game, going to the ballpark, you can't beat it. And in baseball, you know, you have those people in the summertime that go to all the baseball parks. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible to go out to all the baseball parks. I've probably been to 20. It's awesome because all of them are different. NFL stadiums aren't all that different or unique. Some are. I mean, SoFi is different. You go to Allegiant where the Raiders are, it's a little different. But it's not like it doesn't have the nostalgic of or the feel of a baseball park, of Wrigley Field or Fenway or even some of the new ones. And then basketball arenas are cool, but they're not really all that. They're all kind of cookie cutter. But it's all about, like right now, Steph Curry still being around, get to a Warriors game. And they're not paying me a dime, obviously. But I mean, you got to see Steph Curry. But the problem is, and I don't mean to go on a tangent here, but the prices right now are for the elite. Like Joe Sixpack, I mean, are you kidding me? We're in the nosebleeders. Now, there's a lot of money in the Bay Area. I'm not saying there isn't. But the way things are right now, how do you justify to your wife or your kids or your significant other, unless you're, you know, a tech billionaire or millionaire or whatever, like, I'm getting courtside seats. You got a better – Greg and I, and all through my sports radio career, and I've debated it and talked about it with you, the Sweet Clean listener and viewer in this case, man, I got a pretty good setup at home. I got a pretty good setup in the studio. I got TVs all around, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's pretty hard to beat the experience. And, oh, by the way, I got a play-by-play broadcaster and analyst, and during the commercials I can go get a beer that's not $25. That's part of the problem now is, look, I'd rather go to a game, all things being equal, but I'm putting a kid through college and I got an ex-wife that still's getting money from me. How do I justify going to a game now? When I had the passes and it was free, like these things, hold on. Like, you know, I got loads of these things. You know, this was gold. Like, look at that. Free stuff. Media. That didn't cost me nothing. I got all the games all the time. Now I got to pay. Are you kidding me? I'm not doing that. All right. That's a long way, man. That is a long way to answer those two questions. Walking around, standing around, carrying clubs for hours. Let's see. True Blue, Wes. Anyway, I think that's good. I agree with you there, True Blue. A day on the golf course, yeah, that'll beat it. And that's not bad. You still have a press pass now that you have left KNBR. I do. Look, here's my Warriors one. Let me see. I got to probably cover this thing up. Does it have a number on it? I guess it doesn't. I probably can show it to you. So, yeah, I still have a KNBR pass. It's probably void, null and void. But, yeah, I'll pull it out someday, the press passes I have. Man, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to have all those. I've saved every single one of them. All right, I think that'll do it for today. Love you guys, man. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for the support. Tell all your friends if you want to advertise on the podcast or the YouTube channel, let me know. We can work out something very, very nice. I got to make a living here after all. But I really appreciate it. So 8 a.m., I don't know that we're going to go an hour and 15 every single day, but, man, I get on a run, you know me, and then I get diarrhea of the mouth, and it's like, can we shut this guy up? That would be great. But anyway, tune in every day. Tell all your friends. We're going to go from 8 to 9 a.m. at least. And then during the day, as news breaks, I do these things called 3 minutes on. And the one thing I missed today, and it's on me, and you can get on me about it. So I'm going to do one of these this afternoon. You see that thing where Rob Manfred, the worst commissioner in the history of sports, wants to do a gold batter? I love gold. He wants to do a gold batter. So at any point during a game, I'm not going to go on a rant on this because I'm going to do a 3 minutes on and I'll post it a little bit later. But at any point during a game, you can decide, oh, I think I want to put Aaron Judge up. And you can put a gold batter up. It's like, come on, man. I'm not Bob. Anyway, I was going to go, I'm not Bob Costas and go on this tangent that I just told you I wasn't going to go on. I'll save it for this afternoon. I'll post it. But anyway, 8 a.m., we're going to be here every single weekday. As news and other crazy news breaks, because it doesn't have to be sports news. And I'll do 3 minutes on, so this afternoon I'll post one on the gold batter and whatever else is going on, and I just make those quick hitters, but I'll put them on YouTube and the podcast, and make sure that you're following at John Lund Radio. We're going to have all sorts of guests next week, and we'll get things rolling really hard. I'm with Larry Kruger every single Monday, and we'll start getting collaborations with guys like Larry and Damon Bruce and try to get Tolbert on here, and I mean, I hope Larry at some point can get Radnich on. You got to get, Radnich is awesome. So all these kind of guys and good friends of mine like Kevin Franz and to talk baseball and all that kind of stuff. And we're just going to have a ton of fun. So I appreciate you coming in the first couple of days. Please tell your friends. Please subscribe. And again, it's to the right one because right now there's another one of these up right now. But if you're not subscribing to that channel right there in front of you on the YouTube channel, that's the wrong one. So that's the right one that I'm showing you, not to confuse you further. But that's the one you want to subscribe to. At John Lund Unleashed Pod. At John Lund Unleashed Pod. That's my Twitter page. I post a ton of stuff on there as well. At John Lund Radio. So stay up to date on what I'm doing there. And then I got an Instagram as well. So we'll keep on doing it. We'll keep on expanding it. And I really, really appreciate it. I agree with you, Tacky. Radnich would be fucking fire. I mean, it's just, that's what we got to do. He is hilarious. Great show. Definitely will be back. Thanks, New Era 84. Appreciate the show, John. Thank you, Danny, for tuning in. Wes, Golden Joe time, John. Yeah, Golden Joe. I love those guys, by the way. In fact, you know what? I'm not lying because you think, there it is, Gold Bar. Can I get that in there? There's a gold bar. To be honest with you, I don't like whiskey in a... I think the Golden Joe was like whiskey and orange juice. I'm not... Put it on the rocks, man, or put it neat, or make it in an old-fashioned. That's my whiskey preference, and I'm a big whiskey guy. So if you got any suggestions on whiskey, I can give you some back. At John Lund Radio, hit me up, and we can have some fun with that, because I love whiskey. I'm not a beer guy. Tom's a beer guy. I'm a whiskey guy. So anyway, God bless. Appreciate you hanging out. Happy morning. I hope you have a tremendous hump day. Is today Wednesday? When you don't go in every day, you forget what day it is. Wednesday. Have a great hump day. I really appreciate you hanging out. John Lund Unleashed. Subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Tell all your friends. If you don't like me, tell the friends you hate. You know how this all works. Make this thing go viral. By the way, like I said, any feedback, I want it. At John Lund Radio. I hate when you do this. I love when you do that. I want to do more of what you like and less of what you hate. Makes logical sense. Have a tremendous day. Stay with me. I'll be posting some 3 minutes on. Do some live chats at night. We'll start getting the guests. I just wanted to connect with you. Nothing wrong with that. Have a tremendous day. John Unleashed. See ya.